please begin to do and begin to pray for that. And I challenge you to, if you haven't already volunteered to be involved in some way, find a way. Determine to come one night and just help. Determine to tell us that you're going to pray in a specific way, or come ask Heather or me how you might help in other ways. But begin to pray for that. Well, if you would take your Bibles now, or you can follow along in your bulletin, and turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, you'll find the 13th verse. If you're visiting with us this morning, we are getting near to the end of a study through Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, and a study we're calling and have been calling all year, Life in the Kingdom of God. We've got just a couple more weeks, and then at the end of July, we're going to launch into a new study in the Old Testament. I'll give you that much about it so far, but I'm excited about it, what's to come. I'm also I'm approaching it with fear and trembling, and you'll understand why when we get there. But we come back to the Gospel of Matthew, the 7th chapter, and to the last chapter of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And since we haven't looked at this in a couple of weeks because of me being gone last Sunday with the Soul to Soul, and I thank Steve for preaching in my absence, and I think the week before we were celebrating Father's Day, so we've been away for a couple of weeks. And so as you think about being away this morning, I want you to try to imagine something. I want you to imagine that you've been seated on the side of the mountain listening to Jesus' sermon, listening to the whole thing. Maybe you came because you had heard that a man named Jesus was healing people of every kind of disease and affliction while proclaiming the arrival of the kingdom, telling people to repent and turn away from their sins. And so you had to come and see who this Jesus was. Could have been that maybe you were already, as you can see in the beginning of the sermon, maybe you had already become his disciple. But either way, you're there listening. You've come to hear Jesus. And you hear Jesus begin his sermon by describing those who are truly or really blessed, saying things like this: blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. They are the ones who are going to inherit the kingdom. Those are the ones who are going to inherit the earth. Those of you who are my disciples, you're going to be like salt. You're to be the salt and light of the world. And as Jesus continued to preach, he then went on to describe the righteousness which he had come to accomplish. The righteousness he had come to fulfill perfectly in himself, but not only that, but also to bring about, to begin to bear in the hearts of his followers. A righteousness which far exceeded the righteousness of the religious leaders, of the scribes and Pharisees, and a righteousness which he said must characterize you, or you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. A righteousness which wasn't merely external, but flowed from the heart and totally changes what it means, for instance, not to kill or not to commit adultery. A righteousness which wasn't to be practiced out of a desire to be seen by men or to lay up treasures on earth, but was to be done quietly, if possible secretly, with the kingdom of God in mind. With Jesus summing up what that righteousness was to look like by saying, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you, for this is the law and the prophets." Can you imagine being there? Can you imagine sitting on that mountainside and hearing Jesus say these things? Think about what it must have been like to have heard this for the first time. What do you think you would have been thinking? In fact, what have maybe you been thinking if you've been part of this sermon series all along? What's it been doing to you? What's it been doing to you about your thoughts about true righteousness and true blessing? What is it? Maybe it's convicted you of sin and your need of Jesus. How has it possibly drawn you toward this kingdom? because there's so much about it that is so attractive and that it is so unique. You know, as we've been going through this, you might have thought at various times, so what do I do with this? What do I need to do to go forward? What do I need to understand? Well, Jesus concludes his sermon by calling them to enter the kingdom of heaven. And he calls them, and calling them to enter the kingdom of heaven, he also calls them to a way of life that is built on a different foundation than they've been building on, and which they've been taught to build on, and which will bear a different type of fruit, a good fruit. And as he calls them to enter the kingdom, and as he calls them to a new way of life, he warns them of the necessity of making the right choice. Because there's only two choices. There's a right choice and there's a wrong choice. There's a right way and there's a wrong way. And Jesus makes it very clear. It's very simple, and yet it's very profound. Listen to what he said beginning in verse 13 of chapter 7. He said, "Enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few." This is the word of God. Well, as you can see, Jesus urges them to enter into the right gate, because there is only one which opens to the kingdom of heaven and the other does not. One is wide while the other is narrow. As you think about two different gates, think about what is attractive about a wide gate. What's attractive about it? Well, a wide gate is attractive because you can enter in any number of ways and places. If you want to walk in, or you want to drive a car, or you want to have a truck pulling a wide load, you can get in. If everything isn't just quite lined up in the right way, it doesn't really matter, does it? Because the gate's so wide, you can just go in at any point and any time. You don't have to do much thinking. You don't have to do much doing. You don't have to think about where you're heading, because there is more than enough room. But think about going and trying to get through a narrow gate. It's very different, isn't it? The other week, I conned my father-in-law into helping me go get a bunch of bags of topsoil to fill in a hole I've had in the back of my yard ever since we moved here. And I thought the gate on the other side of our house was more than wide enough. And when we got there, and I had it full of bags of topsoil, guess what I found out? His truck just barely made it into the gate. In fact, we had to turn his mirrors in order for him to make it inside a gate. He had to be lined up just right. His truck would go into the gate, but if his truck would have been any larger, it wouldn't have made it. Because there was a limited size of what could enter. It was tight. It was clearly marked. And we had to make preparation in advance to know, are we going to be able to go through the gate? Two very different gates. One that's wide and one that's narrow. And the thing that's so powerful about what Jesus is saying is the same is true of the gate into the kingdom of heaven versus the gate into hell. Have you ever thought how wide the gate into hell really is? It's extremely wide. You can enter it at many points. You can have all the baggage you want. You can believe whatever you want to believe, live however you want to live, worship and serve whatever you want to worship and serve. You might say there's no restrictions, because nothing is believed many times. There's nothing that's absolutely going to, for many people, they don't believe in absolutes, unless, of course, there are absolutely no absolutes. It has been called the gate of self-indulgence, the gate of pride, the gate of self-righteousness, the gate of self-reliance. It's wide. It's so wide. Live how you want to live, think how you want to think, believe what you want to believe, And guess where you're going to head? You're going to make it through that gate. You're going to go right through that gate. You might not even notice that it is a gate, because you won't even see the parameters. You won't even see the post. They're so far set apart. Whereas the gate into the kingdom of heaven is extremely narrow. As we read in John chapter 10, verse 9, Jesus said, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture." We read as an assurance of pardon, John 14, 6, where he says, he gets even more, he shows the exclusivity of this gate, where he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." I'm the gate, I'm the door, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There's only one way to enter this gate, and it's through Jesus Christ. It's through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. He's the only way. He's the only one, as we were trying to share with the children this week, who can pay for our sins and make us acceptable to the Father, and who gives us His righteousness in place of our sin. He's the only one. And so we've got to, if we're going to enter through that gate, we've got to come to the end of our own self-righteousness. We've got to see our need of Jesus. We've got to trust in His payment for our sin. And it's through that gate then, and that gate alone, that we might be saved. And what's interesting about how Jesus builds this case and makes this point, he begins with telling us about these two gates, and then he shows that these two gates lead to two different ways or paths. One is easy and the other is hard. And once again, if you think about walking down a path or a street that is very wide or where there are many lanes. You can go in whatever direction, you kind of go in a direction you want to go, in whatever lane, at whatever speed. It doesn't matter, because there's the idea that you'll end up at the same destination. If you think about the way that Jesus is talking about this easy way, you might think of it as the easy way that leads, when you go through the gate that leads to hell. It's the easy way, it's maybe the attractive way, the indulgent way, the permissive way. Because there's no rules, there's no restrictions, there's no requirements. But try walking on a balance beam. Try doing what the kids did. Did you notice where we went the other night? We went to Planet Gymnastics, and they rented out a gymnastics place for 2 hours. And you saw some of our girls, even Amy, on a balance beam. And what do you know about a balance beam? A balance beam is very narrow. Is it 4 inches? That's the official width of a balance beam. If you're going to stay on the beam, you have to stay on a very narrow path. If you're not careful, you can fall off to the left or to the right. It's hard to stay on because you're confined by what you can do and cannot do in order to stay on the beam. The parameters are set. They're clearly marked. If you've ever watched the gymnastics and you've seen it on the Olympics or something, there's clearly legal and illegal moves. There's things that are possible and not possible. You might think of it in comparison to the easy way. It's the demanding way. It's the way of self-denial. It's the way that it's much harder. It takes much more discipline. And it is clearly marked for you. But Jesus, as he describes this gate and he describes this way, the wide way and the narrow way lead to two very different destinations. The wide gate and the broad way lead to destruction. They lead to destruction. And when we think about destruction here, as Jesus uses it, Jesus doesn't mean annihilation, where one ceases to exist. But really, the word destruction here means utter ruin and loss. The destination of those who enter through the wide gate and they walk down the broad way is a place called hell. It's a place of utter ruin and loss, where someone at that point in time will be utterly, when someone enters hell, they are separated from God forever. They are in everlasting torment and complete ruin forever. And here's what's amazing to consider about this broad way and this broad gate is that there are plenty of warnings along the way. Because if you think about it, the broad way leads to all kinds of brokenness and loss, all kinds of beginning of ruin in this life, doesn't it? Broken relationships, broken homes, broken minds and bodies, broken communities. If you ask the children about their week, they would tell you they saw a lot of brokenness this week in Hattiesburg as a result of sin, as a result of walking in any way, kind of way you want to. They even realized, I hope they realized at the same time, some of their own brokenness and their need, and a greater need of the Lord Jesus. But if you look again at the narrow gate, you look at the hard way, where does it lead? It says it leads to life. How do you define life? Is it just merely breathing? I don't think that's what Jesus is getting at. It leads to life. It leads to fellowship with God through Christ. It leads to, ultimately, it's going to lead to a new heavens and a new earth where righteousness dwells, where there is no sin, where there is no death, where there is no destruction. Everlasting fellowship with God's people and His angels and blessings beyond compare forevermore as an ultimate sense. But in a shorter sense, doesn't God give us also glimpses of where the narrow way and the narrow gate leads? It leads to life. There's plenty of glimpses of life and experience of life along the way. Healthy and restored relationships with God and with others. Good being done to them in the name of the Lord. Love, as we were singing the other day, love, joy, with our little backyard Bible club. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Y'all understand that? Fruit of the Spirit's not a coconut or a banana. It's all these things. Silly song. Yet it communicates a message. You know, one of the things that was so powerful about this week was watching how God blessed and the life, the good that was experienced from this. The blessing of these kids coming together for the sake of the Lord Jesus. Kids from different backgrounds, kids that didn't know each other, and them, what did they have in common? They had the Lord Jesus Christ in common. Even going over last Sunday night, and we go to it completely, if you could have seen I wish you could have seen the stark difference in last Sunday. Sunday a.m. worship. We're in a historic church, long-standing church, extremely traditional church, pipe organ, hymns-only church. And it was a very respectful, very, you know, faithful preaching, good, solid worship service. We go on Sunday night and we go to a completely different section of town. We go to, there's not a white member in that congregation. And we enter into that congregation. And we worship with them. We fellowship with them. And they worship in a completely different style and manner than First Presbyterian Church in Hattiesburg worshiped. And yet because of the Lord Jesus Christ, there was life. Because of the Lord Jesus Christ, those two congregations are beginning to worship together quarterly and beginning to serve together. Because of the Lord Jesus Christ, There is life. There is healing. Now backyard kids are going into that neighborhood to teach children, to do work projects. How is that possible? Only through the Lord Jesus Christ, who ultimately is able to bring healing and truth and true reconciliation that's forever and ever. And so you see something of a glimpse of what Jesus is getting at. He's calling them, enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. So there's this huge difference. There's huge difference in the gates. There's huge difference in the way. There's huge difference in the destination. But there's one last difference. And the last difference is that there are many going in the wide gate, walking down the broad way, while there are few who find the narrow gate and the hard way. That's a heavy conclusion, isn't it? There are many going in the wide gate and walking down the broad way. Many. People from all kinds of different backgrounds, all types of different beliefs and lifestyles, imagine. But you know what they all have in common? That they've refused to come to God on His terms and to live according to His ways. So that if what you believe and how you look looks like the majority of the world, you need to beware. You need to beware. Because if it looks like everybody's going there, everybody's living that way, everybody, the majority is thinking that way, there's a high chance that you're on the wrong path. You're headed towards a destination that you don't want to end up at. It's interesting, though, if you look at the few, who have all come out of different backgrounds as well, different lifestyles, they have this in common. They put their hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're seeking to follow Him. And here's the thing that Jesus spells out pretty clearly, doesn't He? If we've trusted in Him, if we've really entered into the narrow gate, if we're really walking down the narrow way, we are going to be set apart. We're going to be distinctly different. We're going to be set apart by what we believe. We're going to be set apart by how we live. We're going to be set apart because we're going to be going against the grain a lot of the time. The grain of society, the tide in which things are going. We're going, and as a result of that, we're going to be considered not only different, at times we're going to be considered dangerous, we're going to be considered radical, we're going to be considered intolerant, we're going to be considered arrogant, we're going to be considered all kinds of things. Which even goes back to when Jesus says, blessed are those who are persecuted for who? For His name's sake. Those are the ones who will inherit the kingdom of God. And so Jesus gives this clear expectation. He said, if you truly entered by the narrow gate, if you're truly walking on the harder path, if you're truly coming to know life through Jesus Christ, you're not going to be in the majority. You're not going to be in the popular crowd. You're not going to be well accepted. And if you're not well accepted, you're not in the popular crowd, you're not doing what everybody else is doing, you're not saying and thinking and believing what everybody else is saying, then look out. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be hard. And the thing that's so important to realize, and it's just interesting that we come to this point today in our study, and we've had all this week with the youth, is that how much you as youth need to hear this. Because it's so easy to think that those who are traveling on the Broadway have the better life. It's so easy to think that they have the easier life. That, man, things are, look what they're experiencing, what they're going to get, what they have, what's coming down the line from them. Look at my life, how different. But understand this. What is one of the things that sets the few apart? The few have been set free from the bondage of sin. The few have been set free from the lies of the evil one. The few have been set free because of Jesus Christ from the fear of death. The few are coming to know the love of God and coming to know that the law of God is good and it's glorious because God is good and glorious. The few are coming to know what is the joy and peace and love that is known through Jesus Christ. The joy of serving God. You know, one of the blessings out of this week is seeing the joy in the kids of serving God and being His witnesses. We had one young man who he'd been on 7 backyard Bible clubs, maybe. This is his 7th one. He had never been the one to tell any of the Bible stories. And he was telling Miss Amy, as I'm starting to tell Miss Amy, that's how everybody talks to her, Miss Amy, how he got to share this week, how nervous he was, and yet how God spoke through him. Because he got to be a witness. He got to tell, and then he got to talk to a kid and begin to sit down, going through the gospel bracelet, and begin to actually share and ask that a young man specifically, did he know the Lord Jesus Christ? Wow. The joy of serving God, of seeking first His kingdom and His righteousness. You know, the temptation for me this morning in coming to this passage is to assume that y'all all know this. That, yeah, this is just the ABCs. Y'all know this. This is, you know, the narrow gate. There's the narrow gate. Jesus is the way. But then I'm reminded this morning, you may be on the road. You may be going down the wide path. You may be lost. You may be on the road to destruction. And so I need to ask you to really ask yourself and search your heart and your life. Which gate? Which way? Which destination? Whose company characterizes you? Have you truly entered through Jesus Christ? Are you walking in the narrow way, the harder way? Are you really on a destination to life? And have you come to know what that life is in Jesus Christ? And do you know the fellowship, the unique fellowship of being children of God and what it means to be called out by Him, to know His grace, to be different from the world? I hope that you have. And if you haven't, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that you can simply call out to the Lord Jesus and say to the Lord Jesus, I acknowledge to you my sin. I acknowledge to you my need of you. I acknowledge to you that I've been going my own way, doing my own thing, maybe trusting in my own self-righteousness. I remember a little boy this week who I was trying to share the gospel with the group after our teenager had shared the gospel. I said, what is it that makes God accept you? You know, how do you make God pleased with you? He said, "Well, you try to do good." And his hope, all he understood at that point in his life was, "I'm going to try to be better." And then we shared with him the Lord Jesus, and the great exchange that takes place when we look to Him in faith, and He takes our sin and marks it paid in full, and He gives us His righteousness. Because only He can please God, the Father, perfectly. So come back to this, to the truth of the gospel. Come back to, again, I started this and I said, this is simple and yet it's profound. And isn't that the case? It's simple. But take it as deep as you need to take it. Because this will go as deep as you need to go. Right now, we are being tempted, and we are being called by the world, again, to something very different than this. To this wide, wide gate. This wide, wide way of living. We're being told that all roads lead to the same place. Worship any God you want. Live any way you want. Walk any way you want. Spend time with anybody you want. And it all ends up the same. It's from the pit of hell. It's a lie. It leads to ruin and loss. But what did Jesus say? "I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. We come to the Father through Him and through Him alone." Don't be moved. Don't be moved. Stand on Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we come to You and just full of thanksgiving because You are our good shepherd, Lord Jesus. Because in Your mercy, You have saved us. In Your mercy, You have shown us the truth and the way, the life. You have shown us and revealed to us Yourself. And Lord Jesus, we thank You for the challenge this morning, the reminder this morning. Whatever it is for us this morning, I don't know how everyone entered this sanctuary. But Lord, I pray that through Your word today, that You would continue to touch our hearts and lives, that You would help us to examine the path in which we're walking on, the direction in which our life is going, whether we've entered through the narrow gate, through Jesus Christ, into the kingdom of heaven. Lord, I pray and ask that You would continue to impact us through Your word and through the gospel, that You would raise us up and strengthen us to be strong, that we might stand and not be moved, that even though it is unpopular, increasingly unpopular, to believe that Jesus is the only way to You, Lord, would You help us to glory in Christ? Would You help us to love others who are lost and to patiently and lovingly sacrifice of ourselves and give of ourselves to share the good news with them. We pray, O Lord, that You would empower us and work through us to bring others to Yourself. We pray, O Lord, that You would help us to expose and to proclaim the truth of the gospel and the truth of the way of righteousness, true righteousness, to those around us. Lord, You have called us to be salt and light. Thank You for the opportunity for these young people this week. Thank You for our congregation as we seek to be salt and light. Lord, may we be bright lights. May we be very salty. And may You be glorified, even as we represent You. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
In response to the word we